Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. As you know, today's the first Sunday of the new year. And obviously, 2020 was a difficult year. And I know we still face many challenges as we head into now 2021. So as I thought about the start of a new year, what God is teaching us and what we need as a church, I kept coming back to this theme of seeking the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We need to abide in Christ. We need to cling to the Lord to find our rest in God. We need to seek the Lord's face. And as we do that, as we seek to know God and enjoy Him, then we can face the challenges and the trials that we're experiencing right now. Then we can face those with joy and with faith and with hope. As we fervently seek the Lord, He will grow us to become more like Him, and then He will bear fruit through us for His glory. Now, there's several ways we can seek God's face. Several means of grace is the term we often use, like prayer and worship and fasting and serving. And those are all good, and I want us to be doing those things. But I believe the foundational way to seek the Lord is through His Word. Seeking the Lord starts with the Word of God, with reading the Word of God, studying it, meditating on it. The Bible is how we grow to know God better. It is food for our souls. Bible intake is really the foundational means of grace, which then leads to growth in those other godly habits I mentioned earlier. As you spend consistent time with God and His Word, it will lead to an increased prayer life. As you draw near to God in the Word, it will fuel your worship of God, and it will stoke your desire to serve Christ and His body. And so as a church, as His people that whom He's graciously saved through Jesus Christ, we are called to seek the face of the Lord. Psalm 27:8 says that. And we want to seek His face, don't we? God has put that desire in our hearts. He's given us new hearts. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And so we do love Him. We want to know Him better. And there's no better way for us to do that than through His Word. And so that's why I want to preach today on Psalm 119, the first 16 verses of it. Psalm 119 is a perfect place to go when we're talking about the Word of God, because that's the theme of the entire psalm. It's a celebration of God's Word. If you're familiar with Psalm 119, you know it just talks about God's Word and over in all these different terms. The Bible is called statutes and testimonies and laws and commandments, but it's all talking about the Bible. It's all talking about God's Word. It's a long psalm, 176 verses, and at least 171 of those 176 explicitly refer to God's Word. And so this psalm is a perfect place for us to study. And when we see, even in our text today, we'll see God's Word referred to commandments and laws and statutes. And again, that's just talking about God's Word. And so I want us to, Psalm 119 is divided into all these different sections. It's an acrostic psalm. So that means each stanza begins with a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but I just want us to study the first two stanzas. So in your copy of the Scriptures, follow along as I read verses 1 through 16. Let's hear God's Word together. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Thanks be to God for his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in these very words. And now I pray that your spirit will come and take your word and accomplish your work for your glory. Please use me as your mouthpiece, and please give us all ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message today is Seeking God Through His Word. And my plan today is I want to make a couple of opening observations and then move into two really kind of simple and brief headings. First observation has to do with something I've already mentioned, that we seek God through His Word, right? We know that, of course, creation declares the glory of God and that heavens declare His handiwork, but God has specifically revealed Himself through His Word, the Bible, and of course, Christ being the living Word is how we come to know God personally, right? Through faith in Jesus Christ, and which is recorded for us and what we can read about and know about through the Bible, His Word. So we seek God through His Word. Look at verse 2. As I studied the psalm, there's twice in these opening sections that the psalmist says, talks about seeking the face of God, seeking His face. Look at verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. And then verse 10, he says, with my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. So twice the psalmist talks about seeking God, and both times it's in the context of God's Word. Right? And I know it sounds kind of basic, but we just need to make sure we're all on the same page with this. We seek God through His Word. Right? So if you're wanting to know God better, if you're wanting to draw closer to Him, have a more intimate relationship with Him, you do that through the Word of God. Because it's the Bible. It's in the Bible that He tells us about His attributes. It's in the Bible that tells us all about the life and work and reign of Jesus Christ. It's the Bible that reveals the heart of God, that shows us the commands of God, that invites us to worship God. So that's my first, just again, opening observation is we seek God through His Word. So if we're going to talk about, oh, I want to draw closer to God, I want to seek God, the way to do that is through His Word, right? Okay, so that sounds good. We seek God through His Word, but what does that mean exactly? What does seeking the Lord through His Word, what does that involve? Well, that leads me to my second observation that from this text, and that's this. Seeking God involves knowing and obeying God. Okay, that's observation two. Seeking God involves knowing and obeying God. I was struck by the emphasis in these verses on obeying God. I don't know if you noticed that when I read it the first time, how often the psalmist talks about or uses the language of obeying God. Look at verse 2. Or let's start at the beginning. Verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. See, that's talking about obeying God. Then we read verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His way. So see, seeking the Lord involves obeying the Lord. Again, verse 10, we looked at that. With my whole heart I seek you, but then look at the second half of the verse. Let me not wander from your commandments. And we see this emphasis over and over again in the psalm of keeping God's commands, of obeying His Word. Verse 4, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Verse 5, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. Then I will praise you with an upright heart. See, he's talking about walking in the ways of the Lord. When I learn your righteous rules. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? See, talking about obeying. By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see the emphasis? And I'm sure there's others we could point to as well. But seeking God involves obeying God. Now, why do I make a point of that? Well, again, when we talk about reading God's word or learning God's word, it's not just an academic exercise. We're not trying to just become Bible trivia students or something, right? We're not just trying to become know-it-alls. The Bible should be shaping our character and conduct. A few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we were studying the prayers of Paul, and that's how he prays in Colossians for them, that the Word of God would, their lives would be conformed by the Word of God. It would shape their lives. The psalmist knew he fell short of this, and we all fall short, don't we? Jesus is the only human who perfectly obeyed God's word, who perfectly conformed to God's law, and praise God that he did, because it's his life that secures our righteousness, and it's his perfect life that made him the spotless sacrifice for us. And so we know that in Christ we are declared righteous. But now as a Christian set free from slavery to sin and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we are called to follow Christ, to keep the commands of God, to keep the commandments of the new covenant, to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, to not love the world or the things in this world, to love one another as Christ has loved us. So that means to forgive others as God and Christ has forgiven us, to build each other up, right? To let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. To look not to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. So there's plenty of, even as new covenant believers, there's plenty of commands to obey. And that's how we seek the Lord, is through his commands, through his word. Remember, God is holy. And we know that we can only come into his presence, again, through Christ. Christ's once-for-all sacrifice pays for all of our sins, praise God. And it's his perfect life that secured our righteousness that we need to be with God. And so we know that we have access to God because we're forgiven. Hebrews says, because of Christ's sacrifice, we can come boldly into the Lord's presence, knowing that he loves us, knowing that we're forgiven. But then now, as his dearly loved children, we are called to obey him. Because now when we sin, we certainly don't lose our salvation. He doesn't stop loving us, but it does hinder our relationship with him. 1 John chapter 1 talks about that. Let me read that passage for you. 1 John 1, beginning in the second part of verse 5. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So seeking God involves obeying God. It involves hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so let us not be deceived into thinking that we can seek God's face and still stay comfortable in sin. No, we seek God in the splendor of his holiness. We want to know him and seek to, and so we seek to purify ourselves as he is pure, the Bible says. And so again, it sounds good to say, yes, I want to seek the Lord's face, and we should want that. But let's get real. What does that involve? It involves seeking him in his word, and it involves conforming or asking the Spirit to conform our lives to his word. And so ask yourself, do I seek to do that? When there's a clear command in Scripture, do I try to follow it? How do I respond to that? Is the Bible my authority in areas of life like marriage and purity and speech and money and time? Am I seeking to bring my life in conformity to God's word? That's what we need to be doing, loved ones. Obeying God and knowing God go hand in hand. Right? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So we're not just talking about checking boxes and following rules. All of this is so that we can be with God, so that we can enjoy His presence, right? We've been brought into His presence through Jesus Christ, and now we want to seek to know Him and fellowship with Him. The Bible reveals God to us. It's how we've been saved, to have a relationship with God, and so we need to seek Him in His Word. We're talking about a loving God, a God that who loves us, and that we have the joy of loving Him. A Heavenly Father to love, worship, and obey. A beautiful Savior to know and adore and follow. A wonderful Spirit to cherish and to keep in step with. So knowing God and obeying God go hand in hand, right? The more closely we commune with God, the more we will want to please Him and obey Him. And as we fellowship with God and abide in Christ, He'll be sanctifying us and causing us to increasingly love what He loves, and to increasingly hate what He hates, to have a distaste, a hatred for sin. So those were the two just kind of opening observations, that we seek God through His Word. That's the first one. And then secondly, seeking God involves knowing God and obeying God. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. I didn't want seeking God to be some fuzzy or nebulous concept here. We're talking about reading God's Word, studying God's Word, meditating on it, filling our minds with it, having it renew our minds. Why? In order to know God better and to obey Him faithfully. All right? And that brings me then to my two headings. Right? We're talking about, the title is Seeking God in His Word, through His Word. But now I want us to consider then under that the blessing of knowing and obeying God. And secondly, the factors of knowing and obeying God, right? And so seeking God through His Word is knowing and obeying God. Let's consider what a blessing that is. The psalmist here celebrates the blessing of knowing God and obeying Him. Look with me again at how the psalm begins. Look at verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. You see what he's saying? He's saying the man or the woman, the one who seeks God's face, the one who seeks to know and obey God through His Word is what? Is blessed. Blessed is the one who keeps His testimonies. Blessed is the one who seeks Him with his whole heart. Back in the fall, we were really before the holidays, we were studying the Sermon on the Mount together, right? And we remember how Jesus begins His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He begins it with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, and on, right? Blessed, blessed, blessed. And that's the same thing that we see here. The psalmist is saying, blessed is the one who seeks the Lord, who seeks to know God and obey Him through His Word. And remember what it blessed means. It means happy, but not just an artificial emotional happiness that is driven completely by circumstances. No, this is talking about an inner happiness that no matter what we're facing, there's a joy in us. There's a peace. There is a happiness to us that circumstances can't shake. Why? Because we know God, and we know that we are in a state where we are pleasing God. We know He loves us through Christ, and we know that we're seeking to walk in His ways, and so we have that intimate fellowship with Him. And so the Bible says, blessed is that man, right? I mean, what the psalmist is saying is, the one who seeks the Lord in His Word and seeks to obey God, you are blessed. You are going to enjoy all the fruits of your relationship with God. All right? You're going to enjoy fellowshipping with God. You're going to enjoy knowing Him better. You're going to have the assurance of walking with Him because you see the Spirit producing fruit in your life. Right? It's when we neglect God's Word, it's when we are being disobedient to Him that we forfeit all those blessings, don't we? Again, if we're in Christ, our salvation is secure, but we forfeit the peace that we could be enjoying, right? Because we're not walking with the Lord. We forfeit the joy because we're not filling our mind with the truths of God's word, the promises. Then we are rattled by all the trials that we face, and we become anxious and fearful all the time, right? And so the psalmist is just reminding us what we really know, right, when we think about it, is when we walk closely with the Lord through his word, we are blessed. We're enjoying so many blessings that God wants to shower on us. And so that's what we need to think about, right? All of us, right, want to have joy. We want to enjoy happiness and enjoy peace. And we do that through his word. You will be the most happy when you are walking closely with God and following his commands. Again, look at the psalm, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sin robs us of joy and happiness because it destroys our intimacy with God. I mean, think back on the happiest times in your life. And again, I'm talking about real joy. I'm talking about fruit of the Spirit joy. The most joyful times of your life is no doubt when you've been walking with the Lord. Maybe you were even going through trials. Maybe life was hard. Maybe you were out of work or going through a health situation or a relationship that was broken. But it drew you closer to God and in his word. And I bet you found real joy because you felt God's love. You were learning to new things about your Savior. And so that's what the psalmist is declaring and really calling us to enjoy that blessedness, the blessing of knowing and obeying God. Again, a synonym for that would be the blessing of seeking God through his word. Oh, how I want us all to enjoy that blessing, right? Again, life is hard. This current season of life is difficult, isn't it? It's challenging in many ways. There are many trials we face. We have an enemy, right? The devil, who's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But yet we can be blessed. We can have joy if we will seek the Lord in his word. May God help us do that. So that's the first heading, the blessing of knowing and obeying God. And then the second heading I just called the factors of knowing and obeying God. And what I mean by that is I'm just wanting us to consider what does that look like? What does it mean to seek and to know God through his word? What does that entail? And as I studied these verses and just kept reading them and trying to make sense of them and, you know, even outline them, three themes kept coming to the surface. And they were interwoven throughout all the verses. These three things, and I just want to bring your attention to them. Desire, determination, and dependence. Okay? Desire, determination, and dependence. That's what I'm calling the factors of knowing and obeying God. In other words, this is what in seeking God through his word involves. It involves desire, determination, and dependence. And let me just show you where I see those in this psalm. Let's look at desire. We'll look at verse 5. I mean, just listen to the psalmist. He says, "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." You hear the desire in his heart? I mean, he's just saying, oh God, how I long for my life to be conformed to your word. How I long to be enjoying this intimacy and seeking you in your word. And, you know, it's kind of like that hymn we sing. I know I'm prone to wander and I feel it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. But yet he's saying, I don't want to do that. I want to seek you in your word. And I want to be pleasing to you. I want to bring glory to you. I want to know you. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. See that desire in his life. And that's not the only place we see it. And again, there's probably other spots in this psalm where you could point it out, but where I really saw it was at the end, right? Verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. And then he goes on, I will meditate on your precepts, fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. But look at verse 14 again. What an incredible statement he's saying here. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. You see what he's saying? He's saying, I treasure your word so much that if you were to give me a choice, right, behind door number one is all the riches of the world, all that this world could offer. But then behind door number two is God's word, your word, Lord. And I could have that so that I can know you and walk with you and be pleasing to you. He says, given that choice, I would choose your word. I treasure your word so much. It's more valuable to me than all that this world could offer. Wow, what a statement. And we know that's true, right? But how often do we get distracted by the things of this world? And again, I'm reminded of what the Apostle John exhorts us to do. Do not love the things of this world, 1 John 2, right? Because they're passing away. But he says, the one who knows God, the one who does his word abides forever. And so the psalmist says, I treasure your word so much. Why? Because it's how I know you, Lord. And so again, it's not, the Bible's not the end. The Bible is the means to the end of knowing God. That's what it's all about. It's about knowing the Lord and treasuring him. We treasure God's word because Scripture, it reveals God to us, and God is beautiful. He's the one we're treasuring. And so again, verse 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist treasured God's word so much that he stored it up in his heart. Again, that's different, right, than storing up treasures like all the kings throughout history have done. No, he's storing up God's word because it's so valuable. It's what he needs for life. I mean, it's like an animal. It's like, you know, storing up food for the winter. He does that because he knows he needs that food to get him through the winter months. And the psalmist is saying, I've stored up your word in my heart because that is what I need. Right? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so he's saying, I need your word. I need to be pointed to the living word, Christ, the bread of life. Oh, how I need your word, because it gives life. And so there's that desire there. He desires it because he loves God and he knows he needs God. And so my prayer for us, loved ones, is that God would deliver us from just a lackadaisical attitude, kind of a ho-hum attitude about the Bible, right? May we not take our Bibles for granted. I know we do that too much, right? This is the living word of God. This is not some crusty old book. No, the creator of the universe has spoken to us. He's revealed himself to us. Our heavenly Father has revealed himself to us. Jesus Christ, we can learn more about him and like we talked about last week, see him in the eye through the eyes of faith by reading and studying his word. This is what we need for life and godliness. This bears testimony of the true and living God and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us, loved ones, desire the Bible. And again, we desire it because what we're really desiring is to seek God through his word, right? And if you find yourself not delighting in God's word, confess that today, right? We all can confess that. Lord, I don't delight in your word. I'm not delighting in you enough. I'm too busy playing around with the mud pies of this world rather than swimming in the ocean of who you are. And so may we be able to say with the psalmist, your words are sweeter than honey. There's nothing I desire on earth more than you. God, I love you so much that I want to hear your words. I want to store them in my heart. I want to fix my eyes on them. I delight in them because I delight in you, Lord. May that be the cry of our heart. So that's the first factor in seeking God through his word is desire. And then my second factor is determination. determination, right? I mean, those go hand in hand, don't they? Desire should lead to determination. And that's exactly what we see in the psalmist. I read verse 5, his desire, "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, then I will not be put to shame," verse 6, "having my eyes fixed on your commandments." You see that determination? I am fixing my eyes on your commandments. Look at verse 8. "I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." You see him, that determination? "I will keep your statutes." He was determined. Verse 9. "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Right? He's not just kind of saying, "Well, if it happens, it happens." You know, no, he's saying, "I want to keep my way pure. How can I do that?" "Well, by guarding it according to your word." Again, and that the determination comes out in verse 10. "With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." Verse 11, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Desire leads to determination. Verse 15. Again, verse 14 was the desire, right? That's the delight. He's saying, "In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches." And so then he says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Again, those go hand in hand, right? If he delights and desires in God's word because he delights and desires in God, then he's going to determine to fill his mind with God's word. Desire and then determination. It's just like if you desire to get in shape, right, to be healthy, then if you desire that hard enough, then it's going to lead to, you're going to determine to make some changes, right? You're going to determine to start an exercise plan or to be careful and eat healthy. Likewise, that's what we're seeing here. The psalmist was committed to seeking the Lord in his word. He was committed to having his life saturated with God's word. Verse 16, "I will not neglect your word." Hear that determination? That's a resolution, isn't it? May we all make that same resolution this year. "I will not neglect your word. God, please forgive me. I have been neglecting your word, and may that not be the case now. From this point on, I will not neglect your word." Oh, loved ones, let us determine to saturate ourselves with the word of God, not just a quick pass-by of a morning, but setting aside unhurried time to be with the Lord at the beginning of the day, a solid time in the morning, and then all throughout our day seeking to fill our minds with God's word, maybe listening to his word or to good preaching in the car or reciting God's word that we've written on note cards, right? He talks about memorizing God's word, storing it in our heart. We have so many ways we can do that, right? Whether it's post-it notes or apps on our phones. But let us seek to fill our minds with God's word. There's so many other things, right, that can fill our minds. So many other words from this world. But we've got to guard, push those aside and guard time to saturate our minds with God's word. Now again, I do see kind of a chronological order to some of this, right? We desire, and what we desire then we determine to do, but they also go hand in hand, don't they? Right? When we desire to know God better, we're going to determine to get in his word, but the more we get in his word, the more we're going to desire God, because as we're getting into his word, we're getting to know him even better, right? We're being reminded of how beautiful he is, and we're learning more and more about his attributes and his faithfulness, and so it's fueling our desire. So there's like synergy here. They build on each other. The more you expose yourself to God's word, the more you will desire it. And so I know this takes discipline, and I wish we could all just wake up bright and early in the morning and have no hindrances to jumping into God's word. But we know we battle our flesh. We battle the weaknesses of our flesh even, just tiredness and things. So it takes some discipline, but yet as we do that, God will make it easier for us, I believe. He will fuel those desires. He will kind of cleanse and renew our spiritual faculties so that we desire more and more to hear from God. And as we are doing that, we will notice that the things of this world do seem less desirable. Right? The more we're getting to know God and through His Word, we'll be like, you know what? I really don't need to spend so much time on social media. You know, who cares about what's going on Facebook or Instagram? No, I see how frivolous all those things are. I see how fleeting those things are. And yes, I can enjoy some things of the world as gifts from God, but man, God, what I want is more of You. Oh, man, may God do that in our hearts. And that really leads to the last thing then, right? Desire, determination, and dependence. Right? We see the psalmist here saying he desires God's word. We see him make the resolutions and determinations. I will not neglect Your word. But yet at the same time, we see him, because he knows his own weaknesses, he knows the battle, the spiritual battle that goes on, we see him asking for God's help. That's what I mean by dependence. Look at verse 7. I will praise You with an upright heart when I learn Your righteous rules. He's asking for God's help he's asking for God to teach him, right? Teach me, Father. He'll say that down in verse 12. Teach me Your statutes. And look at verse 8. I will keep Your statutes. There's determination. But then he says, do not utterly forsake me. So he's not talking about abandoning him in the matters of salvation. He's asking for God to stick by him in his determination to live according to God's law. So you see, he's making this strong statement, this sincere confession, I will keep Your statutes, but then at the same time, it's like he's pleading with God, do not utterly forsake me. I need Your help, God, to do that. I know I'm weak. I know I get distracted. So please, come alongside, empower me, help me. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. Oh God, I want to obey You and I'm seeking You, but I know how easily deceived I am. So he's praying, right? And again, prayer and God's word go hand in hand. He's praying, God, let me not wander from Your commandments. I already mentioned verse 12, blessed are You, O Lord, teach me Your statutes. So again, this is not just a self-improvement thing. He's not just saying, yes, I'm going to discipline myself and be in God's word every day, and then, you know, I know that I will instantly grow. No, he's saying, yeah, I need to do my part. I need to desire. I need to make a determination. I need to expose myself to God's word. Oh, but God, how I need You to change me. Right? This is not just an academic exercise. I know that this, we're talking about Your living word. And just like we do whenever we teach or preach or share God's word in any capacity with our kids or other people, we're praying, God change their hearts. God change my heart, we're saying as we read God's word. Show me my sin, but show me my Savior and sanctify me, Lord, through Your word. Your word is truth. It's just like, I mean, this is what the process of sanctification is all about, isn't it? Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's our determination. There's our effort, right? How can we do that? Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You see that? So we're putting forth effort, but we know we're dependent on God to give us the strength to do that. And we have the assurance that He is doing that. He is at work in us. He's given us His Spirit. And His Spirit will lead us down the path of sanctification. His Spirit, He gives us new mercies every morning. And so we need to seek God through His Word. We're dependent on Him. We need to have the desire. We need to cultivate the desire. We need to ask Him to cultivate that desire in us. We need to make determinations, but we are dependent. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Word of God. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit to help us apply the Word of God. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit to continue cultivating that desire for the Word of God. And so we seek God through his word. And that's what the psalmist is doing. He's celebrating knowing and obeying God. He's saying how blessed you are if you do that. And then as we hear him celebrate that, we can learn what that looks like. It involves desire, it involves determination, and it certainly involves dependence on the Lord. And so, loved ones, as we begin a new year, may this not just be the title of a sermon, but really may this be a theme for us this year, seeking God through his word. That's what we need to do, seek God through his word. We always need to do that in the Christian life, but how much more in a season like this? Many of us have said how during this time of COVID, it's taught us a lot of things, right? It's causing us to kind of re-examine our lives, to kind of get back to the basics, to reestablish good priorities. Well, it starts right here, seeking God in his word. Oh, may you do that. And I know that these are difficult times. I know that it seems like everyday life has been made a lot harder, hasn't it? I know we're weary of just all the different decisions we have to make. And like I said, I know that there's many temptations to be anxious and fearful. But again, as you seek God in his word, he will bless you with peace. He will give you joy even in these difficult days. You'll have opportunity to testify to the hope that you have in Christ. He'll be glorified through you, and you'll be able to rest in his love and in his sovereignty and in his plan. Right? Don't you see that? Isn't it your experience? It certainly is mine. That man, if I get up of a morning and spend time, scrolling through the news and all the doomsday this and doomsday that, wow! Next thing I know, I'm anxious or I'm upset or I'm right. But no, if we instead seek the Lord in his word, then we find our hearts filled with gratitude at who what he's done for us and at praise for who he is and at joy for the salvation that we enjoy in Christ. And so may God help you to seek him in his word. May we be a church that seeks him in his word. May God give you the grace today to have that desire to know God better and to make whatever determinations you need to make, whatever choices you need to make, to seek him in his word. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for being a God who has made yourself known. Again, we know creation testifies to your glory, but we praise you that it points us to your word, to where we can know you truly. And as we've just celebrated this Christmas season, that thank you that you've made yourself known through the living word, through your son, Jesus Christ, and through his life, death, and resurrection, you have reconciled us to you, that we can truly have a relationship with you. And we praise you for preserving, for giving us your word, preserving this word for us, that we have it in our own language. What a blessing that is. We know there's people today who can't say that, who they don't even have access to your word. But God, we do. And forgive us for neglecting your word. Forgive us for spending more time reading the words of man, reading the which are fallible and untrue and often not glorifying to you. Oh, may we instead fix our eyes on your word. May it be sweeter to us than honey. May it be more precious to us than anything this world can offer, because it draws us closer to you. So help us be a church that desires you. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for myself, Lord. Help give us the grace we need daily to seek you in your word. Give us the discipline we need to do that, but cultivate our hearts to do that. We know we find time to do what we really want to do. And so we pray that you will cause us to want you more than anything else. That we would know you, enjoy you, and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And loved ones, just as I've been praying, may the word of God dwell among you richly. And as you seek God in his word, may you come to know him and enjoy him and enjoy peace in him. Amen.